fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, welcome to On The Clock on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Sorry about that small pause just now. I hope you all noticed it, though. As I'm in the studio, I've got Mark Palmer joining me today, and we've got some guests. We've got some young Bahamians from Organization for Responsible Government, and they're here to talk about their Active Citizens Bahamas campaign. But that's not what troubles me. What troubles me is Mr. Mark Palmer is a farmer. And in his yard, he just grow the most delightful, delectable of fruit. And he graciously gave me a pear on the way up here. But when I look across the table at the sizes of the pears he gives these young people.
They're bigger, right?
They're bigger than my pear. They're bigger than them, Mr. Palmer.
That's the Russell pear.
These little children can't eat no pear like this, Mr. Palmer. Why you put this stress on their head?
Be surprised.
So the long neck pear is called a Russell. Well, thank you, Mr. Farmer. I just saw a video last night of a homeopathic treatment for arthritis and pain in joints. They take an avocado seed, the pit, and they cut it up and they soak it in alcohol for an amount of time, maybe overnight, and then they rub that on the joints.
Mm.
Right now, as I say to everybody, before you apply or employ a homeopathic therapeutic treatment, please speak to your doctor about any possible medical conditions. Plus, I think avocado is too valuable to just be rubbing on old knees. That's what Bengay is for. We could be producing avocado oil at a commercial or industrial level if we put our heads together. So I want to say thank you to Mr. Palmer. I am jealous, but I am inspired. I am inspired to produce ideas, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's what appears when you see a pear the size of my head. And boy, is it large. Yes, Stefan, you can shake your head. It is the size of my head.
It's pretty decent.
It is. It's pear time, people. I'm going to share one more fact about the avocado, the pear, the alligator pear, the avocado, that maybe you didn't know. And maybe you didn't know it because of the geography of the Bahamas. It's something that many people don't know because they don't experience it. And here's what it is. A pear, once it gets full on the tree, will not get ripe as long as it stays on the tree.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense, yep.
It's when the pear falls off the tree
yeah.
that it will begin, when it breaks its connection to the getting ripe. So if you can create wind barriers around your avocado trees, you could sustain your harvest for a longer period of time. Now, if you think geography is hard to tackle, don't forget the raccoons and the rats. Many of us, we tend not to leave the pear on the tree because the other owner is going to get it before we could get it.
But they have to eat too, you know.
Come on. Yes, they do.
They're part of the, you know, ecosystem.
They do eat, Mark. I agree with you. And if I didn't know that raccoons had opposable thumbs, I would say, but that raccoon didn't plant that tree, so why do you have to eat from the tree?
Well, I have a big boa in my yard, and that eats all my rats.
A big boa?
Mm-hmm.
That's very nice.
We call him Shirley. Oh, he's yeah. about 9 foot long.
Oh, she.
She, yeah. Uh-huh. I think it's a she.
Gotta you don't be know. A she at that size.
I posted a video.
I'm glad you have the science behind it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I see you.
Is it a she?
Male boas don't get that big.
Oh,
yeah.
She's a beauty, though. She's yeah. about, I would say, probably about wow. 6 inches in diameter at the widest
six
part.
6 inches?
Yeah. I posted a video of her, and most of my friends say they're never going to come and visit me.
That's a good trick, because that's where the avocado And the star food.
But I only see her maybe once or twice a year.
Yeah. Nothing to be afraid of.
No, no.
Any pet disappearances?
Not yet.
Because, I mean, I think that's...
I have to ask my neighbors.
That's the biggest concern about snakes, right? That's it, is that a small pet, a tiny pet. Other mm-hmm. than that, snakes are harmless, mm-hmm. right? We don't have any venomous snakes in the Bahamas, and mm-hmm. people aren't supposed to be importing venomous snakes, right? But our conservation experts say that there are no venomous snakes in the Bahamas, none endemic or indigenous to the Bahamas either. Snakes are relatively harmless. But snakes remind you you can't fall asleep in the grass and forget you have to go to work. The snake may come and wrap itself around. The snake has its purpose too.
You've been watching too many movies, you know, really.
That was funny.
They don't come and wrap themselves around you.
That's because you...
When? How much people you know that have been wrapped around by a snake?
I mean, I know one, but he's a hero. He's an adventurer. He sleep in the bush.
On Netflix.
No,
I've had it happen to me, but I mean, with a snake I was handling when I'm back in my days at the National Trust.
So what you're trying to tell me is that snakes are not going to walk up on you in a dark alley and just wrap you up and say, hey, cousin, you look like you need some love.
Yeah, no.
I'm just checking.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people, right? Some of it is rooted in their...
Biblical.
Right, mm-hmm. their religious socialization, which is a big part mm-hmm. of their personal identity. A lot of it in myth and folklore, you know. But snakes, particularly in the Bahamas, are relatively harmless.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they don't eat mango, so I don't care. They don't eat mango, so I don't care. You could do what you want, Snakey. I'm okay with that. Okay, guys, let me start with our Sand Dollar Live read. Thursday the 24th and Friday the 25th of August, central bank representatives will be giving out sand dollars at Solomon Supercenter. Show your sand dollar-enabled digital wallet at the door and receive $20. Spend $18 or more in sand dollars at the register and get $5 back when you leave the store. This offer is limited to the first 100 customers to show their sand dollar-enabled wallet at each location. One top-up per person, so as many people as possible can experience the sand dollar. For more details, visit any of the Sand Dollar social media pages or call 302-9880 or roll up to Solomon Supercenter with your smartphone in hand, ready to download one of the 7 Sand Dollar apps that are available to you. Again, we've put the Sand Dollar on the clock trivia giveaway on hold. Central Bank says we should be back up and running by tomorrow. I've got tons of questions. I'm going to throw one out just for fun. Which person famous in Bahamian history, which person in Bahamian history is located in Rawson Square?
Oh, that's an easy one. I could answer that right now.
You can't answer it because you're part of the show. But it's a trick question, apparently.
Okay.
Yeah. And the key is you got to know. That's the trick.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Which person, famous person in Bahamian history, sits in Rawson Square? It's like a trivia question. No prize except the value of knowing that you know something, mm-hmm. which is always a great prize. So joining me in studio today are representatives from ORG, Organization for Responsible Governance, and they're here to talk about their Active Citizens Bahamas campaign. I'm really excited about this conversation because, see, sometimes you can't control people. You can't tell them what to do. You can give them a job description. You can't make them follow it.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes as citizens, you got to put your government to the side and say, I'm prepared to do some things for myself. And then sometimes you got to put the government to the side and say, look here, sit here for a second. I gonna work on it. And you can, as citizens, organize and strategize and present to your government solutions, right, that benefit both you and the government, that bring balance to the challenge in front of us all. And so I think today we are talking about some initiatives arising out of ORG that enable citizens to take greater control of their lives, to engage with self-determination and agency. And I think this is something that Bahamians mm-hmm. are crying out for, even if they didn't articulate it as clearly as these young people will articulate it today. Producer, I see we got a call on the line. Caller, you only could be... let me rephrase that. I hope you call in to answer our trivia question this morning. Good morning, you're on the clock. Good morning.
Milo B. Butler.
Yes, ma'am. Milo B. Butler sits in Rawson Square to the north of Bay Street. Thank you very much, ma'am. Now,
you
there's one prize today, and you could get it if you want it.
What is it?
Well, I see Mr. Newry saying the prize is him through the window, but I don't think that's appropriate. Oh, a C.A. Newry pepper sauce.
Ooh.
Miss.
Okay.
Oh, leave your middle name.
My middle name?
Oh, okay. So here's what Mr. Newry is saying. My prize for you is a bag of Gnep.
Good.
Mr. Newry say, if you could get Milo B. Butler's middle name right now.
Oh, Balson Butler.
Pardon?
Balson Butler.
Mr. Newry say that's not it, but spell it.
Well, if that ain't it.
No, spell it. Because sometimes when you spell it, the S is B-A-T.
B-U-L-T-R-O-N?
No, he say that's not it.
Okay.
But thank you. Listen, leave your number with the producer if you want a bag of Gnep.
Oh, yes.
Leave your number with the producer. I'm going to call you after the show, and I can figure out how to drop you off a bag of Gnep.
A sweet Gnep.
I mean, they...
They have to be sweet.
They mummy love them, miss. What you talking about? They mummy love them. They make them sweet. They are sweet. I ain't, you know, sour Gnep.
Okay.
Thank you so much for calling and answering.
Hold on.
Yes, producer. She's holding on so you could take her number for me, please. Thank you so much, producer. Did you all know that?
What?
To my guess.
The answer?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You knew that Rawson Square is the one to the north?
Yes.
Okay. What's the name of the one to the south?
That's Parliament Square.
And who's sitting in it?
Queen Victoria.
That's my great cousin, great grand cousin.
Okay.
All right then.
Yeah,
so
we don't talk.
We know a couple of things.
Yeah, we don't talk.
I hope he in Las Vegas.
This is good.
Well, you know, Milo was he was the original filibuster because he could speak for like 3-4 hours at a time. And I met some people who knew him. I said, when he started speaking, they go, oh Lord, he's starting again. He could speak. Yeah.
Listen, this is history. Yeah. And for those people last week who's trying to encourage me to go into politics, madness, that would be the reason why y'all vote me in, because I could filibuster. I could talk for 3-4 hours straight. That bill ain't getting passed, buddy. No, sir. Anyway, I love it. Let's get to the show, to my guests. Let's start to my right. Please introduce yourself.
Good morning. My name is Ariana Wells, and I am the Engagement Program Manager at the Org Bahamas Foundation. Thank you so much for having me on, and thank you so much for these fruit. I'm so thankful. This is such a gift.
And I'm Stefan Evans. I am Org's Assistant Director. Thank you also for the wonderful gifts of good health.
I mean, he's such a wonderful man. He always brings these things when they're guests. He don't ever bring them when it's just me and him to share. But thank you again, Mark. So let's start. What is Active Citizens Bahamas campaign?
Right. So Active Citizens Bahamas is our latest engagement campaign for the public. You use the keyword self-determination. Mm-hmm. And that's what the project is all about, giving Bahamians and residents of the Bahamas the opportunity to be a part of the process. We often say that governance makes people's mind go directly to government, to parliament, to decision makers. But governance is all of us. It's the private sector, the public sector, civil society. And very importantly, it's the people, the choices that we make every day, the things that we do every day. And the concept that governance can happen in the absence of a people is a fallacy. Mm-hmm. Governance does not divorce from participation of the citizens of any country, and in this case, of the Bahamas. So this project is meant to help the everyday Bahamian understand what their place is in national progress and in moving the country forward.
Do you have space in these classes for politicians and members of political parties? And I tell you why. It appears as if there's a new political culture solidifying, right? It's not in its infancy, it's solidifying, where politicians begin to speak about the country mm-hmm. in different ways, right? So they speak and then attempt to govern a political construct devoid of the people.
Right.
They speak and attempt to govern an economic construct,
right.
To manage a budget devoid of the people. And thus, in their work, they tell themselves, we don't actually have to consider the impact of our real decisions mm-hmm. on the lives of people, because we are working on a budget, right? And we got to hit a bottom line.
Right.
We're working on a political construct, and we need to meet our obligations with, and this begins to occur without engaging
right.
or ensuring that you're also governing the people
right.
that make up both the political construct and the economic construct.
Yeah, we've done work with, so far, some of the political youth groups, but our campaign and the outreach that we've been doing does not exclude any group at all. But what you say is absolutely key, because one of the things is we've done lots of research and reading and pulling together of information and even looking at what's been going on within the United States, that if we say something like, you know, we need to review legislation and what's going on in the House and what's being passed, then we automatically assume that this has to do with where the country is going to go. These decisions will take us forward if it's done right, even when we talk about the consultation around it, like when we make this law right, this is the thing that will take us forward. But the reality is the same studies, the same information that suggests we need good policy says that things like the management of public finances are improved when citizens have a voice in the matter. Mm-hmm. National progress, community level development, all of these things can happen at the highest level. Mm-hmm. But the reality is good governance is not achievable without citizen participation. Mm-hmm. And that responsibility goes in several directions. Not only does the government need to listen to the people, civil society needs to listen to the people, the private sector needs to listen to the people, and people also have to be proactive in getting up for themselves and participating, because if there are opportunities where we're listening, where the government is listening and people don't show up because they're jaded, because they're tired, and we mm-hmm. know we got lots going on, we want to pay our mm-hmm. bills, we want to get from day to day and make it, take yeah. care of our kids. But the reality is our quality of life, our ability to do these same things that we assume are high level for people who have made it and who have the money and the time to focus. Nope. When we participate, regardless of where we're at, even the most vulnerable, the folks that are struggling the most, mm-hmm. when our voices are added to the table of decision making, the best available research suggests that's what makes a strong democracy.
So how do you... You know, you spoke to demoralization, right?
Right, right.
And I'm not surprised people are demoralized, yeah. you know. I mean, you have your personal issues, mm-hmm. you're talking about global issues, mm-hmm. A lack of distrust in government and regulatory bodies, that they don't seem to listen to us. I mean, there's a lot
right.
going on. So how do you give hope to people that are in that kind of demoralized space?
So the first thing I would say is, as a part of our approach to this Active Citizens Bahamas project, is one, we have to ground ourselves in reality. We have to mm-hmm. acknowledge what's going on. But what we've found is that in this campaign, what makes us a bit different from a lot of the work that we've done and we've seen other nonprofits do, that the primary goal is to listen. So people have not had proper spaces to just be heard. We're airing our concerns, we're complaining, we're getting out there and saying what's going on, maybe on social media, maybe at the family mm-hmm. party, maybe at a community meeting every now and then. But to say that there is a space where someone's going to listen to me in a very systematic kind of way, collect information about mm-hmm. what's going on, and use that information to actually make decisions and do something... That the fact that that doesn't exist is there's low public trust. So creating those spaces is like the first step in helping people to understand that, you know what, I know we're tired. I know we've been at it for a long time. I know it feels like things aren't changing. But this space where we can come mm-hmm. together and actually talk and think through what's going on, write it down, record it, reference it in a shared mm-hmm. community kind of way. I think that a lot of people have given us, and we're grateful, like the grace and the space to mm-hmm. begin to have that conversation based on some of the spaces we work in.
Can I draw an example, right? Just this week, right now, the 13th Ministers of Women's Affairs meeting is mm-hmm. taking place. Mm-hmm. The purpose of that meeting is to sort of complete, correlate, and agree on an agenda
right.
for the larger Commonwealth heads of governments meeting. In that process, they have side events, mm-hmm. and those side events are intended to gather information,
right.
to opinions, policy suggestions, examples of projects and models in action to the ministers as a part of their work, right? And so here's a model from a supranational agency straight down to the Bahamas, because we're lucky enough to have the meeting hosted here.
Right.
A model that creates mechanisms for engagement, right? So the next step is not just that you have the models,
right.
but are you using them?
Right. Right.
Are you actually engaging the stakeholders, the public at large,
yeah.
private sector, to inform these positions
yeah.
that are going to go up to the highest decision-making levels?
It's really about what's being done with the information that will make the difference. Because a lot of people talk about the fact that when it's election time, we know that surveys mm-hmm. are being done, these things are happening, and that's not a bad thing. I will not discourage that from happening,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but the question is, where is that information being kept? And that's why a cross-sector approach is important, because as a non-profit, non-partisan organization, we're at the beginning of this process, but we intend to work on this for at least the next 3 or 4 years of just literally creating that space where people know that this info will be collected and available. If you have an issue, if you have a thought around what's happening in your community, solutions, what's pressing right now, and that will change based on what's mm-hmm. going on in the environment, what's going on with the weather, what's going on in social spaces. What we intend to do, we're hosting a series of focus groups, smaller discussions around the islands virtually over the course of the next few weeks. And we're literally beginning with that first step of, we're not coming to tell you, we know what's going on Abaco, we know what's going on in Inagua, we know what's going on Exuma. We're asking you, mm-hmm. and we're collecting this information. We're going to put it forth in a very, very clear way, make it publicly available for government,
anonymous,
for nonprofits.
Anonymous, contributors want it to be.
Mm-hmm. We're collecting the same information via surveys that are available on our website right now.
Okay.
So anyone can take these three short surveys at orgbahamas.com/community survey. But in addition to the survey data, which is pretty static, we wanted to actually have smaller conversations with members of these communities to say that this is what people have been saying. What do you think?
Because different processes elicit different types
right,
of information
sure.
and
right,
information
right.
emanating in different forms, which is great.
Yeah.
Why haven't we done this before? You know, on the National Development Plan,
we
they
have.
Do that whole thing
Mark,
where they
it's
went.
It's a great point. If I respond to it, because I've been waiting to jump in
yeah.
on that point.
Yes.
When you make the point of how the information is stored,
right,
right, and it's cross-sectional, so many sectors can access said information. When the government collects the information, they sort of expedite or prioritize that which is important to a government agenda.
Right.
The other information sort of gets lost,
mm-hmm.
right, because it has no value. It's important to show the larger institutions that have a greater capacity to collect information and to store it that its value is not just in its benefit to you
right.
directly,
right.
and that it will benefit you if you understand its value to other sectors of the process.
Precisely.
Because you will push that info to the side. It doesn't fit your agenda, or you don't have the time or the resources to work on it. But if it's accessible by an NGO, who it turns out, that's the thrust of what they do,
yep.
they can be building models, they can be expanding those ideas, and then represent them to you, the government, in a workable manner that you can then incorporate into your current agenda or policy platform.
Right. So, and I'll definitely let Ari chip in on some of the concepts around we had a conversation about this because we're like, okay, we're not saying that consultation hasn't been done.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, there was some decent consultation that went into the National Development Plan and even into the National Youth Policy. Like, there are these different spaces that we know exist. But the reality is, even in the genesis of some of these things, and we've done our background research, they still begin at a certain point of an existing thing in the end. For us, and we're not trying to be breakthrough or we just want to be innovative and effective. But for us, the concept is meant to be a better reflection of what happens when you just come to a community and start the conversation at that point without any sort of preconceived notion of mm-hmm. what we need to come out with. It's a bit of a leap of faith in terms of standard project management, because normally you have your goals and your metrics that you got to hit and you're expecting to come up with this or that. Mm-hmm. But we are literally going, I don't want to say blindly to make it sound like there's no plan, but it's like what you say is what we will record and what we will present. We are not going to edit or change or try to fit it into any sort of existing agenda outside of what the people are saying. And then the hope is that we can use that information to feed into things like the National Development Plan, because one of the important points around public consultation is that it needs to be ongoing.
Yeah.
It needs to be regularized and institutionalized and not just in government. Because nonprofits, we're out here making project plans and we want to do good for people as well. But a part of our good governance as nonprofits is that we also have to make sure that attractive thing that will land us a big mm-hmm. grant or a donation, but that we do what people actually need. I know,
How are you approaching this? Are you going to like a district or a parliamentary district? And so at the end of it, are you going to have, you know, Baintown says this, you know, another part of Nassau says this?
So we have the capacity to report at that level. It all depends on how many people from each space responds. So, for example, in the surveys, it will ask for the island and the constituency that the respondent lives in. And we're collecting as much of that information as possible throughout. We are building that process out, so we have to see what that's going to look like. But definitely, we have some information that slowly but surely is beginning to reflect actual communities. Because that's another important thing, even though we have a keen focus on the family islands, there are communities within Nassau where the challenges are very, mm-hmm. very different. And being able to begin to pinpoint that is a key thing.
And I'd also just like to point out that the information that we're getting right now is citizen level. So these people they might not be necessarily experts in the subject matter, but these are just community participants. And I think that takes us back to what actually is an active citizen. And an active citizen is just somebody, anyone who wants to take part, an active part in their community.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think the citizen-driven model is going to be the most efficient and effective for the government.
It will.
To push forward with. I think it to the point where it makes politics easier.
I think that's a great point. Because the question often comes up, not as much with our citizen engagement work, luckily for us, but the politics of it all does come up from time to time. And the reality is collecting information from people about their thoughts on their community. What's going on? What are the challenges? What are the solutions? And one key question that we're asking is, who do you think is responsible? Because we got to get to the bottom of the fact that there's a line. Mm-hmm. There are definitely some things that the government is meant to do, but do we even recognize what our responsibilities are as the people, as the members of a community? Because you could have the best laws in place. You could push all of these different agendas forward. They won't get very far, one, if people don't understand them or know that they exist, which is definitely a challenge that's not our fault entirely. But two, we have to live in these communities and abide by these rules and support one another. So a lot of the philosophical concepts then become a part of the equation. Care about each other, how much we support each other, how much we respect each other as people. All of that creates livable and productive communities. So the reality is when we create this landscape, when we create this space, we're getting citizens involved more in the bigger picture equation. So naturally, decision makers will have a better idea of what people want. When the information is clearly laid out in a very objective and a nonpartisan type of way, then you have a much better grounding by which you can make decisions. And we can see the alleviation of some of the challenges that have been very pressing as of late. While we try not to get into too many of the issues of the day in our work, I will say that so many of the things that have been popping up, if people were consulted, if more conversations were had, if there was a space, even if it's mm-hmm. online, it doesn't have to be a town hall where people have to stop what they're doing, just a quick space where someone could click onto a link and give their feedback on a particular legislative item or policy decision or feedback on any ideas being put forward. If that was a regular thing, if there were opportunities to do it, people would probably participate more, but we're sort of creating them as we go. And that just becomes a little bit difficult for people to follow.
So how do you get an active community? Because that's the ideal thing, right?
Yeah.
I think what we're all talking about, communities that are engaging, that are collaborating,
right,
communicating well, advocating. How do we get there? Because I think that's, once we have active community, that's going to make this a lot easier, right?
Yeah.
Well, it starts with education. If people don't know, then they can't care. And essentially, the goal of the Active Citizens Bahamas Project is to educate people on what it means to partake in their community, and then also what it means to genuinely care and help.
Interesting about that point, which is really spot on, is that we've found from what we've done, we've been to about 8 or 9 islands thus far, and we've spoken with a little over 1,000 people from those islands. And while the assumption is that socioeconomic status has so much to do with it, people that are not doing as well just don't have the time or space to care. I'm not saying that that's not the case.
It's survival mode.
Yeah. I'm not saying that that's not the case, because psychologically speaking, that is a logical sort of idea to follow. But what we've actually found so far is that in communities where that public education and engagement is already happening, particularly where there are nonprofit organizations working in the community, mm-hmm. people are more likely to participate. I'm not saying that we have like the research paper to say that this is the thing, but when we look at all the communities that we've been to, and we've found that in this group, that on this part of this island, so many people were interested in what we had to say and receptive and open, or actually already being active citizens. The one pinpoint that those communities had in common was that there were local CSOs on the ground working. So gotcha. when we go to a that particular island, the yeah. folks are saying, oh yeah, I volunteer with this group, or I go to this mm-hmm. church, or I work with this group. And of all the different speculations around what's helpful to get communities to be more active and engaged and self-determined, when we see those stronger groups on the ground, not just a community leader, but an organization with actual programs in the community, it was a lot more likely that those mm-hmm. communities had active participation, regardless yeah. of socioeconomic status.
Yeah, because you're encouraging volunteerism
and
that sort of thing. Yeah, that makes total sense.
I think it was a pretty fascinating and encouraging
insight.
Find, because we have a lot of organizations and churches in the Bahamas. And so that means if they use their influence to do good, they're empowering the entire community to be self-determined.
But more than that, it's not just about if they use the influence to do good. If they can strategize and organize their resources, particularly the human resources,
right,
in a way that minimizes output, because you're working collectively now. And you don't have to work together, but just being aware of each other's work.
Mm-hmm.
Just being aware of each other's work, their intention, their mission, can help you to strategize and reduce your output without reducing your service.
Absolutely. I think that what was very interesting is when we visited West Grand Bahama, and just shout out to Pastor Keith Palmer, who is the pastor at Church of God of Prophecy, Pinedale.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know many of us have mixed views on the church, but I will say, as a nonprofit professional, what they're doing there is very impressive. So they have engaged with university students to survey the surrounding community to actually mm-hmm. find out what the needs of the people are, so that the church can use its resources to give back to that community. And then people are more likely to want to be connected, to want to help other people, to show up to the events.
Because Rastaman and your boy, even though they may not go to church,
right?
They mommy go to that church. My children go to that church with their mommy and their grammy. And I ain't going to let nothing happen to that church.
Right.
The cars in the parking lot, we ain't hitting these cars. It shifts out of a sense of belonging or connection.
Right,
to this powerful space is helping other people.
Yeah, and so it then brings that sort of charge to leaders of organizations, whether they're religious or not, within the community. We're saying that we're learning that when you start the process of engagement on the ground, Bahamians are more likely to be encouraged to try, even if they're struggling to lend a helping hand, to do what is necessary. Yes, there are civic duties like voting and those other actions that are important. But I often hear, I think I was listening to one of the shows on here earlier, and someone referenced in response to a problem that was going on, that when is election time, that's when we're going to get we don't have 3 years to wait to fix everything.
In fact, that's another part of the political culture
that
needs to be disrupted, right?
Yeah.
Politicians are actually promulgating, they're perpetuating this construct, this idea that you voters voted us in, so you give us the moral authority to make all of these decisions. There's no requirement for us to engage you, the citizen, about this, decision. But you get your say every 5 years, which is not acceptable. Like,
no.
You say, 5 years. First of all, the government needs to understand. Well, needs to understand. I'm saying that like I'm talking to my parent. But the government moves at a snail's pace. If the government's using taxpayer dollars, they need to begin to move at the pace of people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't move at the pace of people's lives, you at least have to be able to move at the pace of crisis in people's lives.
Yeah.
Right? And so the government expects that we could wait for 5 years for an operation, that we could wait 5 years to have that loan approved or that overtime payment approved to continue living our lives. But the people's lives are moving at a far greater pace than the government.
And it also perpetuates this idea that we have to wait until we're frustrated to address an issue, because it's either the election or we get mad and we protest. And protesting is, in some instances, a viable way to advocate, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what we're trying to promote is that there are other things that we have to educate ourselves around that we can do.
There are other mechanisms to demand participation in governance, right? We got to go to a break. Producer, play that song for me, please. As we go to the break, I got some texts here to read. This text just came in. Man, I usually love or enjoy your show. I am extra loving it today. I love the way the young man is talking. Please bring him and his group back on once a month, as often as you can, however you do it. Dear org, y'all hear the texter say what I've been demanding from these young people. I was about to start carrying on like they Grammy and tell them, don't forget to come to church every Tuesday, please. Right? But that, thank you, texter. These are the types of conversations that Bahamians want to have. They want to hear. They want to know that it's available for other Bahamians, because I wanted to share this with my brethren, but I wasn't able to articulate it as well as those people who are actually doing the work are able to articulate it. I got some more texts for you, Mr. Snake Doctor Evans, when we get back from the break.
Oh boy.
And you, Ariana, I got some more questions for you as well. Mark, thank you as always for expanding the conversation. We will be right back. It's the Snake Man. I got the text for you. You're on the clock.
Antenna.
We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
My beautiful people, full of wonder, wonderful. Of you mighty people, of you mighty people, of you mighty.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that. Does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business, then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix-up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Vaccines are essential for new and returning students. Vaccines also protect fellow students, teachers, staff, and other members of the community from serious illnesses and even death. As you begin your back-to-school preparations, ensure that your children's vaccinations are up to date. All vaccines are available at all public health clinics.
This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, and USAID.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Okay, school bag, books, pencils, uniform. Oh, Lord. And I got to buy snacks, too? Just lay it
on the line. The Guardian Media Group and AML Foods want me with our first ever back-to-school snackathon. What's a snackathon? Well, we want to help by assisting in donating school snacks to children that may need them as they head back to school this year. To be a part of our snackathon, all you have to do is shop at your favorite Solomon Superstore or Fresh Market. At the store, you can donate your pre-existing loyalty points, or you can donate cash directly at the register. Every single penny will go towards purchasing snacks that will be donated for distribution by the Bahamas Feeding Network and Hands for Hunger. Together, we can ensure that every child that opens their backpack this year will have a snack and a smile.
Get involved, get involved.
Civilization. They do not know what we are capable of. They do not know what we are thinking. Because my work has only just begun.
Up you mighty people, up you mighty people, up you mighty, up you mighty, up you mighty.
Feel it down in your soul. Till you can't control it. Put your hand up to the sky. Mama, don't ask why. In these dark and lonely times, we go turn the tide. If you're looking for a sign, turn and look inside of you. Your body is a temple. Your sweat is holy water. Every move you're making is prayer.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. I have Stephen Evans joining me from Org and Ariana Wells. That's right. I'm just making sure. Ariana Wells from Organization for Responsible Government and Mr. Mark Palmer, the farmer, joined us on this World News Tuesday. Y'all don't mind conversation on this World News Tuesday. I want to say, like, send a shout out. I want to say good morning to Mr. Gilbert Morris, right, who often reminds us sometimes we have to create policy like we are the only people that exist in the world. Like the Bahamas is our whole world, the entire world.
Imagine
that. And this is all that we have. We have to entertain ourselves. We have to educate ourselves. We have to take care of and heal ourselves medically, physically, psychologically, spiritually. Yeah. It's all up to us. And when we look at it from that perspective, then we realize that government and citizens, we are all we have to solve our problems and to create the new world for us to live in, right? And what a wonderful time to be alive when you actually have the capacity to do that.
Yeah.
Right? Even when you're struggling in life, you got to catch two bus to go to work every day, and that's not the struggle. The struggle is it ain't two bus to catch to work every day. Catching the bus ain't the struggle. Know that people have to catch the bus and you don't have a functioning transportation system is the struggle, right? Even those people have the capacity to be a part of governance and to shift their own world, right? Anyway, so much to talk about. That song excited me too much. Yeah. I can't play that no more. Freetown Collective, Up You Mighty People with the intro by the one Marcus Garvey. Sir, the text says, we have sea snakes in our waters which are highly venomous. Why you didn't tell me about that?
Because I didn't know.
Well, now you know, Mr. Snake Man.
And I've been under the waters of many of our islands. I have not
encountered
run into
a,
one.
You haven't run into a sea snake
I'll
yet.
I'll have to do my research.
Dear texter, what is, I already wear shoes in the water in case I have to kick a shark and run away on top of the water. It's not animal cruelty, okay?
Yeah,
shark bite.
Self-preservation.
Shark. I ain't kicking them for fun. It's the sand and I just kick them because what you doing on Montague Beach? It ain't like that. Okay, upcoming events. You had a virtual sort of...
Focus group
last night,
mm-hmm.
online.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing another one on Thursday, Wednesday.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Yes, the 23rd.
Right, in Grand Bahama?
No, that's virtual as well.
Right, so technically in Grand Bahama, but it's virtual.
Well, yes.
So the primary focus is Grand Bahamians.
Grand Bahamians.
And if you are Nassuvian or from another island and you sign on, know that the conversation is going to be GB-centered.
All about Grand Bahama.
All those solutions from people living in other jurisdictions in the Bahamas can be helpful.
They can. If you get run, then, you know, it's only so much we could do. But definitely, Grand Bahama will be in the house tomorrow. And Ariana, you got the list for the rest of them.
Yeah, so Grand Bahama is Wednesday, August 23rd. And Abaco is now pushed to September 1st and 2nd. So we will be on the ground in Abaco. And it worked out that we were able to go on the remembrance weekend of Hurricane Dorian. So that's something that we're holding extremely near and dear to our heart. And we're very thankful that we get to go to Abaco at that time and actually have deep conversations with the community there. And so if you'd like to sign up for that, then it's the orgbahamas.com/focus groups. And then the other focus groups that we have in the North Central Islands are August 28th and the South Central Islands are August 30th. So that's Friday and then Monday and Wednesday.
All right. What about the Southern Islands?
Yeah, Southern Islands.
The Southern Islands.
4th of September.
4th of September?
Yeah.
All right. Don't leave out the Southern Islands.
Can't forget them.
See, because Meghwana sits on a different plate, right? A tectonic plate. And so that's the earthquake plate. The sea levels rise and the Bahamas begins to sink, technically. Meghwana will be rising above the waters still.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fascinating. We just have an amazing country, and
so we have to move the capital to Meghwana. Is what I'm hearing.
Meghwana.
First of all, we can find out why they couldn't find Jerry Roker in town, and then we can find the missing pages from the land registry for Meghwana, and then we can move the capital.
Long way to go.
Yeah, but it ain't far. It ain't far.
But what about a Chichani? You need to find one of them too.
That's an island.
Yeah, yeah.
That's an island. We got to find the Chichani. Along with all of the land that's available to Androsians and Bahamians in Andres. Both of them are very, very hard to find.
You're probably going to have more luck with the Chichani.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to say good morning to everybody at Small Hope Bay Lodge in North Andres.
Mm-hmm.
I hope y'all having a Duke Hannah happy day. If y'all have never heard the music of Duke Hannah, look here, go on the YouTubes. Better yet, let's call the family of Mr. Charles Carter, my Carter family from Island FM. And let's tell them that we need to do something with all of those records in there. That's Bahamian history, you know, being held, you know, the legacy of Charles Carter and being preserved by his family. Okay, so Grand Bahama, August 23rd. Abaco pushed to September 1st and 2nd.
Yes.
North Central Islands, the 28th. South Central Islands, August 30th, and Southern Islands, September 4th. And they're all in person.
They're virtual. So we were able to secure the funding to go specifically to Abaco.
Yeah.
But I will say this. Another part of the project where we're actually just doing more open those that are interested and learning more about what it means to be an active citizen. So this has been popular with community groups, civic groups, school groups, youth groups, so on and so forth. We do have potential opportunity to visit some of the other islands, not particularly for the focus groups, because we want to we've had to, we're nonprofit, so for funding purposes, mm-hmm. bring islands together
yeah.
on one. That's what we're doing most of them virtually.
Yeah.
And if you go to that site, orgbahamas.com/focusgroups, you'll see on the flyer which islands we're talking about for each of these opportunities. But okay. we'd be happy to try to visit where we can in future. Some of the islands and doing presentations in the community as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Don't mind these the jokes in the rest of the studio, you know. We're going to get to them. They're jealous of our peers.
What else is going on? There's a lot of action.
And listen, while they're jealous of our peers, I am grateful that I can count you guys as mm-hmm. my peers, right? Mm-hmm. In the struggle, in the work,
yeah. mm-hmm.
in the community,
yeah.
right? We need to be able to stretch across generational gaps
right
and understand the connections and what it is we owe to each other.
Yep.
And on that note, you owe me $5 for that pair and you owe me $7 for that pair, because that's a huge pair.
Wait, mine's again.
Shout out the contact information for Org one more time.
So you can find the information at orgbahamas.com/focusgroups, but you could also reach us via email at info@orgbahamas.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can reach Ariana, who is spearheading these focus groups, at Ariana, ArianaAnnah, at orgbahamas.com.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If I were in the inner city, one of the things I would be sharing in these focus groups are ideas around how we can monetize our community spaces mm-hmm. with vendors and selling fruit, particularly in the summer, and how we could regularize that and engage as many young people as possible, right, in turning things that usually turn into trash in our community and become a hazard or waste into community, into economic mechanisms, into economic revenue, and into a vision that drives us to a new future. That's what I could be doing at one of them focus group, even though I apologize for missing the focus group last night. As you could see, I was buried under 1,000 gunnels. Yeah. What a time. Anyway, thank you, producer, for your patience. Thank you, Ariana and Stefan from Org. And once again, Mark, thank you so much for expanding the conversation this morning on this World News Tuesday. C.A. Newry and Guardian Radio AM is up next.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.